Thank you, Sister Fonda. Good evening, church.
Good evening.
It's a pleasure for us all to be together. It's awesome to be in the house of the Lord and to be with you. Our second word of Christ from the cross is, I tell you this, today you will be in paradise with me. Let me read our scripture, Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43. One of the criminals hanging there threw insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. The other one, however, rebuked him, saying, don't you fear God? Here we are all under the same sentence. Ours, however, is only right, for we are getting what we deserve for what we did. But he has done no wrong. And he said to Jesus, remember me, Jesus, when you come as king. Jesus said to him, I tell you this, today you will be in paradise with me. Jesus was being ridiculed by all those around him, the rulers, the soldiers, and now by one of the criminals even. And some of the gospel accounts have them both ganging up on him. And it's easy to hit someone when they're down, is it not? This is the time when we need to show a little mercy. Let's look at what was behind Jesus' last words here in this scripture where he says, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. So what prompted that? It was prompted by the words of these two criminals also hanging on their crosses. Here are the words of the first. He says, are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us. He's saying it in a slighting way. He's not really believing it, that Jesus is the Messiah. And there's some thoughts here, not only of a physical saving yourself, but also a spiritual saving yourself, is there not? They undoubtedly had previous chances to be saved. You know, as criminals, first of all, our thought would be don't commit the crime in the first place. That was their first chance. And there was a 70s show called Beretta. Some of you will know the reference here. But Beretta, he was a private investigator slash police officer. And he would say, if you can't do the crime, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime. So don't even do it in the first place to start with if you're not prepared for the consequences that may come. There is also undoubtedly another chance that they had to be saved, and that if they were given a trial, which they should have been, that was another chance where they were trying to get off for the crimes that they committed, and that was another chance they had to be saved. And at the word of the crowd could have saved them, but instead they chose to save Barabbas, kind of the worst as far as criminals go. He was known as a notorious prisoner, a lifer or three striker, maybe how we would refer to him nowadays. And so they're coming to this final point both criminals, they're saying, Jesus, can you save us? We've tried, you know, all these other things have failed. We're still here hanging on the cross. You know, it's pretty much a done deal after you're at that point. But please, Jesus, can you save us? Can you show us some clemency? These two criminals, one is known as an impenitent criminal, and the other is referred to as a penitent criminal. To be impenitent, we are not feeling shame or regret about our actions or our attitudes. And the opposite, to be penitent, we are feeling or showing sorrow and regret for the wrong that we have done. And we are repentant. And so we've got one in each situation. The first criminal says, are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us. This thief was making light of Jesus' role as the Messiah. And he represented, I'm sure, many others who also were making light of Jesus' role. And sign above the cross said, King of the Jews. And for some, that was, again, another slight and saying, you're the King of the Jews. This is what you're accused of. But for some, that's really who he was. He was their king. So this criminal says, come on, can you save yourself, dodge this bullet this time, call upon the angels to be taken down from the cross? The second thief, he was penitent, and he saw the bigger picture. I'd like to think I would be like that thief, but perhaps I would not be in that situation. He did not let the crowd and the influence of the others keep him from turning to Jesus. Praise the Lord. He could have let his pride prevent him from calling upon the Lord. And we can do that as well. But even in his darkest hour, he turned toward the Lord and called upon him for his salvation. He had all the prerequisites to be saved spiritually. Physically, he was still hanging on a cross. But he had those prerequisites, and we read about them here in the scripture. He was penitent. He feared God. He admitted his wrongdoing. He recognized Jesus as the Messiah, and it wasn't said in a way that was not believing it at the same time. He did believe it. You are the Messiah. He said to the other criminal, tried to kind of get him to come along and come over to his side, do you not fear God? This penitent thief, he acknowledged their guilt, and he at the same time acknowledged Jesus' innocence, that Jesus should not be there. This second thief believed that Jesus was the king. He saw the sign above his cross, above Jesus' cross, and he believed it. And so he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He cried out to Jesus, even then, in his shame. He said, remember me. Now, remember me for calling upon you for salvation. Don't remember me for my past life, please. Set that aside for this time. Undoubtedly, you know, Jesus knew about his past. He knows about our past. But he looks beyond that and looks to remember us as one who is calling upon him for our salvation. Jesus' mission, earlier in Luke we read, chapter 19, verse 10, the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost. Praise the Lord. And this is such good news for us this evening, that he came to seek us out and to save us and found us where we were. Jesus' work throughout his ministry was to lead souls down the path to salvation through repentance and to forgiveness. It is never too late to turn to Jesus, even when we are, like he was, crucified and about to die. Tardiness at work and at school can be a bad thing. And, there are consequences for us being late. And some would say, call me anything but late for dinner. You know, there are consequences for being late to dinner. We may not get a full helping, or we may not receive any food because it's gone, because we were late. And if you were a part of a large family, you might have experienced this firsthand when your siblings got more than you did, or you were late and out. And it didn't take long for you to learn that lesson, not to be late to dinner. So do we deserve to be remembered by our Lord in our time of need? This period of Lent reminds us that we are dust, and to dust we shall return. So what in our life is so memorable that he would love us so and have mercy upon us? Again, we would like for him to not remember those bad things in our life. The psalmist also writes and pleads with the Lord, do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me. For your goodness sake, O Lord. And that's how we would like to be remembered. The penitent criminal did not let his crime keep him from turning to Jesus either. We can be inclined to feel that our sin, our past sin, defines us, but it doesn't. And Jesus looks beyond that and loves us in spite of it. And we may say, this sin is dragging me down. I'm a slave to it. Why even turn to Jesus? Can he help me? But remember, his mission was to come to seek and to save the lost. And he will not fail in that mission if we submit to his authority and lordship in our life. There was a song, a hymn, that said, "We'll work till Jesus comes." And it talks about not slacking off. We'll work till Jesus comes, right up to that last moment. And we have a wonderful example here in our Lord and Savior, who worked and was carrying out his mission even till the very end. You know, being up on the cross, about to die, we could understand if he felt the need to just take it easy, to not be a part of that mission. And when the criminal turned to him, say, "Can't you see I'm dying here?" But he died for that criminal, even at that point, and died for us, and did not let up on his mission. And Isaiah prophesied this. He said that he would be then numbered with the transgressors. He not only would eat and fellowship with sinners, but would go to that point where he would be on the cross with them and die with them. This thief did not let his cross keep him from turning to Jesus. They were obligated many times to carry their own cross as a part of their punishment, and he undoubtedly did this as well. And it would be easy for his guilt and his shame, those baggage of his past sins, to keep him from turning to Jesus. But Jesus wanted him to turn nonetheless to him. And praise the Lord, he did. Have you given up all hope? Don't give up hope. He came to seek and to save all who were lost, and that includes you and me. He is our long-awaited Messiah, the King of the Jews. It's a wonderful privilege to pray for the lost, for those who Jesus came to seek and to save. And they're very near to God's heart and should be to ours as well. So do not give up on praying and interceding for lost souls, for family members, for friends who need to come to that point where they turn to God and in their hour of need. And also, if they wait till their deathbed, don't be upset with them. Be rejoicing and be thankful that they turn to God, even at that time. He is faithful to redeem them at any point. It's never too late. And it will be a joy to see all whom the Lord has called to himself and those who he has redeemed in the end at that final day. From a human standpoint, we might be too quick also to write people off, just because from a human standpoint, we might see the sin they're involved in. But that is not our job, and we are still to extend grace and mercy and the love of the Lord. Turn to God while he may still be found. He loves us, and he does not want any of us to perish. Praise the Lord. Amen.